This morning in my message, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit dry. Two services and my voice is going out. But this morning I really have a message that it hit home with me, and I'm just going to be really transparent with you today and share my heart with you and how God has been dealing with me. And I remember not too long ago, I was doing a series and I was preaching about, and maybe some of you remember, I hope you do, we talked about we wanted to do the things that Jesus did. But if we wanted to do the things that Jesus did, we had to first do the things that Jesus did, you know, the prayer and the reading and all that stuff. So, and I remember I was standing right over here in my usual spot, and Shelly was standing there with me, and she's not there today. She's back there running the sound, but I'm glad you're there. Thanks for filling in. But I was standing there, and I'd had a really good week. I don't want you to think that I'd had a bad week. It was a good week. I'd been reading, I'd been studying, I'd been praying, I'd been doing everything, getting ready for that moment, and I'll never will forget it. I was standing there, I had my hands raised, it was during praise and worship, and I was just seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden, I have what I call a mind missile, just hit my mind, just came in and just hit me, and all of a sudden, I had this thought, what if this isn't even real? What if I've built my whole life on a lie? And so I began to have this doubt that came into my mind, and it flooded my mind, and it just paralyzed me for no reason. Like I said, I'd had a great week. Everything, my soul was right, and I was been prayed up. And then all of a sudden, I don't have anxiety, but I'm going to tell you, I got really anxious. And I felt like, man, I can't preach this morning. And I remember I looked at the door and I thought, man, I need to get out of here, you know. And I was just flooded with doubts. And maybe some of you here today can relate to that. Has anybody ever had any doubts of whether God exists or if he's real or if he even cares? And maybe for you it wasn't just a moment of doubt. Maybe it might be a season of doubt. And maybe you're in that season this morning. And for some of you, it might not be in church like it was for me. Maybe you were in a hospital room and you heard a diagnosis that you didn't want to hear. And all of a sudden you began to wonder, where are you, God? Or maybe you were at a funeral of a friend that you loved and you're fighting back the tears and you're wondering, God, why did you not do what I begged you to do? And the floods of doubts begin to hit your mind. Or maybe you were alone in your bedroom at 2 a.m. in the morning sometime and you're crying out to God and you're wondering if he's even there. And you start to ask questions like, if God is good, then why do I hurt so much? Or you wonder, if God is so powerful and he loves me, then why doesn't he fix the brokenness in my life? And your mind begins to race, and your mind begins to think of all these things. If God can do anything, if he's all-powerful, then why doesn't he do what his word says he can do? Why do I feel like he's not there when I need him most? Can I tell you, if you've never had questions like that in your relationship with God, you just need to throw your hands up and start rejoicing right now. Because I'm going to tell you, for most of us, I believe that it's not a matter of if, but when are you going to have your next set of faith questions? And that raises the question to me, what do you do when one moment you're full of faith and then all of a sudden you start having faith questions? And now I want to say this, even though it might not be something and it might be different from what you've ever heard from any other pastor say before, but this morning, I just want to give you permission to doubt. And not just doubt for the sake of doubt, okay? But so that you can start asking those sincere spiritual questions in a way that can actually draw you closer to God. And what I want to do is I want to show you all how we can do this in God's Word this morning and how we can specifically wrestle with some of the real life issues that most of us go through without losing our faith in Him, in God. Because I want us to see that doubt isn't the enemy, okay? Doubt is not the enemy, but doubt is often a pathway that leads us to a deeper, meaningful relationship with God. Amen? And can I tell you this morning, if you find yourself doubting, that doesn't make you a bad Christian. It makes you human. That's what it makes you. All right? And it doesn't mean that you're running from God just because you have questions. It may mean that you're diligently seeking Him because you just want to know more about Him and you want to know more. Doubt is often a pathway to a deeper and more meaningful faith. And so I want us to pray before we get into the rest of our word this morning. All right, bow your heads and let's pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person that you've ordained to be here this morning and hear this message. I pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would do a work in us this morning that only you can do. And God, especially for those that might be hurting this morning, those who might be struggling in their faith, some of them that might be here this morning and don't even know if they believe in you or not, I pray this morning through your Holy Spirit that you would draw us close to you. And that especially if we have questions this morning, God, I pray that you draw us close. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Are you ready for the word today? All right. If you're ready for the word today, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Online, if you're watching, we're glad you're here today. I want you to type in, I'm ready as well, okay? Not as well, but just I'm ready. What we're going to do today is I want to show you in a powerful example through the Old Testament, this prophet named Habakkuk. Everybody try to say that, all right? Habakkuk. All right? Try to say that. Habakkuk. Okay, now everybody clean off the back of your head there where the guy behind you spit on you. It's not an easy one to say. But Habakkuk, what he is he's a prophet that he didn't understand what was going on, but yet he still tried to trust God through all of his questions that he had. And if you don't know anything about Habakkuk, he is one of the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. And if you're not familiar with the Old Testament prophets, you might be asking yourself, was he not good enough for the majors? That doesn't mean that. What it means is that his book is short. The book of Habakkuk is only 3 chapters long, so it's very short, and that's why he's called a minor prophet, just so that you know. But it only has these 3 chapters, but man, I'm telling you, they're powerful. And they can teach us how to trust God even when we have very real questions about God. And so I'm going to give you a little context about Habakkuk. And he was a prophet in the 7th century B.C. before Christ. So about 700 years before Jesus came on the scene. This is the moment in time that we're talking about. And during this time, there was this massive moral and political instability. There was corruption all over Judah. And the people, they were rejecting the one true God. And if you think that the world is bad now, I want you to understand that the world was really bad then as well. Most of the priests, the prophets, and all the judges, they were all corrupt. And the temples, this was the place where you were to go and worship, kind of like what we are here this morning. But they had temple prostitution going on. They had idol worship. And so instead of worshiping the one true God, they worshiped these idols. And it's kind of even hard to say it, but they even had child sacrifices. And so parents would literally bring their children and sacrifice to this god called Moloch. And they were just hoping that this false god would show them favor somehow. And so all of these people, they were terrified of the enemy that they had living right next door, the Babylonians. And so here they are, they're living in this instability of political corruption everywhere, and almost everybody is suffering. And Habakkuk, the prophet, he looks up to God and he says this, he says, God, do you even care? Has anybody ever been there? God, do you even care? So essentially what he says here is he's saying, God, you chose me to be your prophet, to represent you. And God, it doesn't seem like you're even on the scene. It doesn't seem like you even care. And you actually see him, and what he's doing is he's taking his hurts and he's taking his questions to God, and he complains to God. And I want us to see that how he does this. In Habakkuk 1, verse 2, this is what he says. He says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" So basically what he's saying is, God, I'm praying, I'm begging you, but it doesn't seem like you even paying attention to me today. And then he goes on to say, and he says, and cry out to you violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. And what I like about Habakkuk here is he's just honest, man. I mean, he's just coming to God. He's not pretending. He's not being dramatic. He's just coming in and he's pouring out his hurts and his confusion to God, isn't he? And I mean, this guy, he's in this world. His whole world is falling apart. Everything around him is chaotic. And he's telling God, he's saying, God, you don't even seem to care. He's saying, God, that's not who I thought you were. I thought you were a God of love. I thought you were a God of mercy. I thought you loved me. And he's bringing it all to him. And I want us to see that we can learn a lot from listening to this prayer that Habakkuk, as he's talking to God. And essentially what he's doing is he's teaching us this principle that real faith is not denying doubt. It's being honest about it. Real faith is not denying doubt, but it's being honest about it. Amen? Like, real faith is like, it's not having all the answers. That's not real faith. But what it is it's asking the questions, but never letting go of God. Ask questions, but never let go of God. And what this does is it blesses me because it shows me that right here in God's Word, we can see right here where faith and frustration, they coexist at the very same time. In other words, it is possible, and I want you to catch this, it is possible not to understand God or to even doubt God, but still believe in God. Let me say that again, okay? It's possible to not understand God or to even doubt God, but still believe in God. And I know for some people this may upset them, because I know people's theology and people's Christians that I know, they're like, oh, you're not supposed to question God. When you question God, all you're doing is you're just demonstrating a lack of faith. But I want to suggest to you this morning that when we begin to question God, when we have these doubts and we will come to God, that in many cases it's not a lack of faith in God, but it's a desire to understand Him. Amen? It's not dishonoring God, but it's just this unusual way to seek and to pursue Him. And so what happens to most people, maybe not you, but probably someone that you know and that you love, at some point this is what happens. They're touched by the Spirit of God and their eyes are open to their sin, and they come in and they ask Jesus to forgive them, and He makes them new, and they start getting involved in church, and they get baptized, they start bringing their friends, they get on a dream team and they start serving somewhere, and they're reading their Word, they're praying, they're lifting their hands, they're worshiping, and everything is going great until it's not. Until one day something happens and that something just doesn't seem right. Like, maybe the pastor that led you to Christ, maybe he led you to Christ, or he helped you in your life, your walk with Jesus somehow. Maybe you've seen that, you find out that he's unfaithful to his wife, and you go to yourself and you think, was any of this true? Anything that man said, was it true? Or maybe your friend, maybe you have a friend and they're struggling with infertility, and you have taken on the responsibility to pray for them and to pray and ask God to give them a baby, and then all of a sudden they get pregnant and you're like, oh, praise the Lord, and then the next thing you know, you find out that the baby didn't make it, and you just don't understand why. And so you start asking the question, why, God? Or maybe you plead with God to save your marriage, but yet your spouse still walked away. Or maybe you're praying for God to send you a spouse, and you're serving God faithfully, and you're doing everything that you know to do. You're reading, and you're praying, and you're living in purity, but yet you're still alone, and you don't understand. Or maybe you prayed and you fasted and you stood on God's word and you're believing that God is going to heal the person that you love, and they died anyways. What do you do with that? You believe in God. You love God. You trust Him. You've felt God. You know that He's there. But then He doesn't do what you want Him to do or what you think He should do. Well, you guys are pretty quiet here this morning. Am I the only one that has questions like this? I mean, sometimes we just got to talk about it, right? We just got to get it out there. So what do you do when you face questions that you can't answer? What happens is this, and I feel like we always feel like we only have these two options, okay? Option number one is you either deny your faith. You're like, okay, God, you didn't do what I thought you should do or what I wanted you to do, so you must not be real. And so you just deny your faith totally. That's option one. Or option two, you deny your questions. So you can either deny your faith or you can deny your questions. You deny your faith like, okay, I'm putting my trust in God. I prayed, I went to church, and then God let me down. And so, God, you're not who I thought you were. And so you deny your faith. Or then you're like, you know what? I have all these questions, but what I feel like I need to do is I can't tell anybody. I can't ask these questions because it's going to look like I'm weak in my faith. And so what we do is we just kind of press them down and we start pretending like they're not even there. And so you still kind of come to church and you raise your hands and you pray and you worship. But all the while in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I don't understand God at all. I don't understand. You do your best to keep believing, but the doubts are still there. Amen? But both of these options, I'm going to tell you, they can feel right at the moment. They can feel right, but the problem is that neither one of these options are going to lead you to where you want to be, and they're definitely not going to lead you to where God wants you to be. And so that's why I'm thankful for the book of Habakkuk this morning. We can look at it. It actually shows us a third option. One that most times we don't see. And this third option is that you can doubt and you can keep seeking. You can ask questions and you can still pursue the heart and the presence of God in your life because He's a very real God and He's a very good God. Amen? And Habakkuk actually shows us how to experience doubts and frustrations at the same time and to continue push in to God and try to believe and try to understand who He is. And the thing I like about this is that you can see that in His name. The name Habakkuk actually means to wrestle and embrace. When you wrestle with somebody, you do this, don't you? You wrestle with somebody. And when you embrace somebody, you do this, don't you? You see, it's the same motion, but with different emotion. You can wrestle or you can embrace. You can wrestle and embrace. And that's what his name actually means. And I love that what Habakkuk does in his word, we can see that he's wrestling with God. He's saying, but you're supposed to be just, God, but this just doesn't feel just at all. But I'm going to hold on to you. So see, he's wrestling with him, but I'm going to hold on to you. And he's saying, I don't understand. He's wrestling again. He said, I don't understand, but I still love you. And this frustrates me, God. This frustrates me, but I'm still going to seek you. Does it make sense? And the Bible doesn't pull any punches, and I love that. I mean, Habakkuk doesn't powder coat it or sugar coat it, whatever you want to say. He just says it, and he tells God, he says, I don't think it's fair. Has anybody ever been there before? So do you remember the people that they were afraid of, the Babylonians? they were afraid of the Babylonians. And so as Habakkuk tells God, he says, this isn't fair. This is what God tells him. So Habakkuk, he says, where are you? You're not doing anything. And let me show you what God says. It's pretty shocking, okay? And God says this to him. He says, I'm raising up the Babylonians, the people you're afraid of, the people that you're thinking they're going to come attack. I'm raising them up. Wow. No wonder he didn't like it, right? If God raised up our enemies, we wouldn't like it, would we? But he's saying, these are the people that you're afraid of, and they're really dangerous. I'm going to raise them up. Habakkuk 1, 6 through 7 and verse 9, it says this. It says, I'm raising them up, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They're a feared and dreaded people. Wow. They all come intent on violence. So in other words, what God is saying there to him, he's saying, look, because you've been so unrighteous and you've been so sinful and you're so far from me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to raise up your enemy so that they can come and they can bring justice upon you because you've strayed so far from me. That's what he's saying here. And Habakkuk is going, man, this is not fair. I mean, we're supposed to be the good guys. We're not, but we're supposed to be, and this is not fair. And his response to God is both personal and it's emotional. But it's from his heart. It's from his heart. And it's full of his grief. We can see his grief. We can see his questions. We see his faith and his doubt. We can see fear and love. And we can see trust. And I love what Habakkuk does through these scriptures. It basically gives us permission to doubt and trust at the same time. And he shows us how to do this, how to wrestle with God and embrace God at the same time. I'm going to look at the scriptures and kind of show you so you can see this wrestling and this embracing that's happening together. So what he says here is he says, Lord, you are not from everlasting. Are you not from everlasting? So what he's saying is God, you're good. You're before time. You're the Lord who is and is to come. So he's embracing him. But then he says, oh my God, my Holy One, you will never die. He's still loving on him. He's still embracing him. And then all of a sudden he says, you, Lord, have appointed the Babylonians to execute judgment. So see, right there, he's starting to wrestle. I don't like this. I don't like what you're doing. But then he says, but I trust you. And so he says that, God, you're my rock. You have ordained them to punish. Here he is wrestling again, isn't he? And I don't like this, God. What he's saying is, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. He's kind of embracing him again. He's saying, God, you're holy, right? That's what he's saying. And he's saying, you're a good God. But then he also says, you cannot tolerate wrongdoing. God, I trust you. I trust your righteousness and your judgment. But then all of a sudden, I'm wrestling with you again. And then he says, why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Can you see it? Can you see the wrestling and the embracing all at the same time as he's doing it? Can I tell you, this is real life. When I think about it, this is me on the front row. Like, I trust you, but I don't feel you. I trust you, and I know you're righteous, and I know you're perfect, but yet you're confusing at the same time, God. And Habakkuk says, this just doesn't seem fair. I love you. But it doesn't seem fair. And I don't know why you won't do something about it, God, when I'm asking you and I'm begging you to do something about it. Because I know you're all powerful. I know you can do anything. Nothing is beyond your power. But why don't you do it? Have you ever been there? I wonder if some of you are there right now, this morning. You see, Habakkuk, he shows us that you can take your hurts to God, because he's big enough to handle it. God's not a pansy. He's not a wimp. He's big enough to handle your big and tough questions. And so you can take your hurts to God. If you're hurting, if you've got questions, if you don't understand, I want to encourage you this morning, just take it to God. Take it to God this morning, because I want to tell you, I'm convinced with everything in me that God would rather have you yell at him than to walk away from him. He would rather have you yell at him than to walk away defeated and lost and alone. You see, he likes to handle things because I know in my own personal life with Shelly, she would rather me yell back than to walk away from her. You know, because when I walk away, things don't go well. I can tell you that right now. She likes to work things out, and I like to hide. But I can tell you this, that at our last fight, man, she came crawling to me on her hands and knees. She did. She did. She said, "You get out from underneath that bed and fight like a man." Okay. Let me, honey, can I? I'll stop. I love you, though. I love you, babe. But I say that because I want to show you the big picture of what's happening here in the book of Habakkuk. You know, we see this. It's only three chapters, right? And when we look at this chapter, we can see three different things. Chapter one, we see that he's wondering. There's no answer. There's no miracle. He's praying, and there's no resolution. And some of you are in chapter one right now. And you're thinking, what do you do in chapter one when you're just wondering? Can I tell you what you don't do? You don't walk away from God in chapter one. What you do is you continue to take your questions to God. You continue to hold on and take your questions to God. In chapter two, he's waiting. And if you read the text, you're going to see him waiting. And he's wondering and waiting. And I'm going to tell you, waiting is kind of worse than wondering to me because I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. If I'm watching a video and it starts spinning, I'm out. I'm going to watch something else. I'm not going to let it buffer. I don't like to wait. And you know, some of you are waiting here today, and you're waiting on real things. Some of you might be waiting on God to provide a job with benefits because there's someone in your home that needs to be at the doctor. They're sick. Or maybe you're praying to God and to bring one of your children back to the faith because somehow they've wandered away. And some of you are waiting on God to heal someone that you love. I'm tell you, we're waiting on that in our home right now. We're praying for Shelly to be healed. But you know what? We know that he can, but he hasn't. But we're waiting. We're not giving up. We're not looking to the left or the right. We're keeping our eyes on God because we know that he can heal and he can touch. And so we're waiting. And if you're in chapter two and you're waiting like we are, I want you to remember something, that while you're waiting, God is still working. While you're waiting, God is still working. In chapter three, we see him trusting. Habakkuk is trusting, and there's this kind of a powerful shift that goes on here in this chapter. It's almost like there's been this spiritual reset, if you will, because if you look at the very first verse in chapter 3, this is what the text says. It says, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth." Now, Shigionoth is not a bad word, just so you know. It doesn't sound nice, does it? But what it is it's actually a musical term. It's used to describe how a song should be sung, like sing this one as a love song or jazz that one up or play that slower or faster or whatever it might be. It's Shigionoth, and the actual definition is this. It's a wild, passionate song with a rapid tempo, a cry of adoration, unwavering trust, and bold confidence expressed through heartfelt worship in uncertainty. Wow. It's a rapid cry of the heart. One source that I was reading said that Shigionoth, it's praise punctuated with exclamation marks. I thought, man, that's pretty good. You see, it's not praise for what's happening, but it's praise for who God is. Not what he's doing or not doing, but for who he is. It's praise. It's trusting God even when you don't understand. And let's look at verse 16 of chapter 3. Habakkuk says this right here. He says, "I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones. My legs trembled." What he's saying here is he's saying, "I don't like this. I don't like it at all." But watch him. He's saying that he's still going to trust him in the next verse. He says, "Yet I wait patiently." You only do that if you're trusting, right? "I wait patiently, even though I don't know the day, even though I know the day of calamity is gone to come, on the nations invading us. Again, what he's saying is, I don't like this. God, I don't like it. But then let's see what he says here. He says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine. So basically he's saying there's no provision. You're not doing the things that I would expect you to do to provide for me. And then he goes on, he says, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. So what he's saying here is, though everything that I wanted, everything that I hoped for, it's not there. You didn't even give me that. But then he says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. You see how he's wrestling and he's embracing all at the same time? This is Shigonoth. This is not just some half-hearted song to God, but what this is a heartfelt cry from the depths of his soul. And he's reaching out, and this is a faith that it worships. Even when things aren't going your way, he still worships God. When things are going wrong, this is a faith that believes even when your eyes can't see it. You see, this is Shigonoth. Chapter 3, it's praise with exclamation marks. And just to be really clear, I want you to understand that this isn't just making the best of a bad situation. That's not what this is. No, this is wrestling and embracing. This is saying, this is not good. I don't like it. There's no grapes on the vines. There's no provisions. There's no sheep in the stall. But yet, God, I still rejoice. He's embracing. I still rejoice in the Lord. This is praise not for what you see, but this is trust. This is praise for who God says he is. Amen?
Amen.
And so I remember on that Sunday when I was standing over here and I was about to preach, and all of a sudden I had that faith bomb go off in my, that thought bomb go off in my mind. What if it's not real? I was thinking to myself, you know what? I've got 2 or 3 minutes here before I stand up before the church that I love, before I stand up there in front of people that have real faith. And I'm supposed to be the guy that brings the message this morning. And all these things went through my head, and these doubts began to come and flood my soul. And I remember what I did. I remember I just put my head down and I just began to pray. I just said, God, I need you to help me. I know you're there. I'm pretty sure you're there. You know, I know you saved me, and I know what you did in me, and I know how you changed me, but I don't feel you this morning, and I'm afraid. And I just began to be honest with God, just like Habakkuk is, and I just began to tell him, God, everything that's going in my thoughts right now, I can't do this. I need you. And I remember, though, I walked up here on the platform, and with what little faith that I had, I began to preach about Jesus. And as I preached, I'm going to tell you, the doubts just began to fade away and the faith began to rise back up inside of me. And I'm telling you, it was a feeling that was just taking me to a deeper place as God began to renew my faith that morning, because I did not let go, because I faced him and I told him my fears and I told him the truth, that I didn't feel like I was the man for the job, that I doubted myself, and that I didn't know if this was even real. Because of what he did in me, though, I know who he is. You see, I know that I'm not perfect. I know that my heart without Jesus is all deceitful. I know that my emotions will lie to me in a heartbeat. And I know that his word is true. And I know that his ways are higher than my ways. And sometimes I just have to say, God, I don't understand. I don't understand, but I'm going to continue to hold on. That's what we got to do. We got to continue to hold on. And I'm going to tell you, that day I preached about Jesus and I gave an off altar call for people to come and follow Jesus, and lives were changed that day because I pushed through the doubt. I could have denied my faith and walked away. I could have denied the questions and just stood there paralyzed in fear. But we can't give up. We got to keep moving forward. We got to continue to seek God even when we don't understand Him. And I'm not saying that for whatever you're facing. I'm not saying it's going to be that easy or that quick for you. It might be and it might not be. I don't know. There might be more questions. There might be more wrestling and more praying that needs to happen, more seeking God. All I can say is this: do it. Do it. Wrestle with Him. Embrace Him so that you can get through it. It's important that you do it. Wrestle and embrace, because life is hard and you're going to face some doubts. But doubt isn't the enemy of your faith. Many times it's an invitation to a deeper and more meaningful faith with God. Amen. And so I want you to understand this morning, you can ask questions and you still can have faith at the same time. Because sometimes real faith isn't found in having all the answers, but it's found in not letting go of God. We can't let go of God. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Bow your heads with me if you would, and let's just go to the Lord in prayer. I feel like God's wanting to do something in your hearts and in your life this morning. I feel like some of you, you've been wrestling with God, but you haven't been embracing Him. It's just been a wrestling match. This morning, I want you to understand that you can wrestle and embrace. God's not going to be mad at you. It can lead to a deeper revelation of your faith with Him. God, this morning, I know You're always good. God, You're always present, even when we don't understand You, God. Jesus, we want to hang on to You this morning. Father, I pray that You do a work in our hearts. Do a work that only You can do this morning, Jesus. As you're praying this morning, maybe you find yourself with a lot of questions or hurts or things that you don't understand in your life, and you're still holding on to God, would you just lift up your hand this morning right now? You're going through something and you're hanging on to God. You may not understand it. You have questions, but you're going to hang on to God. Lift up your hand this morning just as an act of faith. And those of you, you might be here and it might not be you going through it. Maybe someone you love is going through something and they're having faith questions in their walk. And maybe you want to pray for them. Maybe you could raise your hand as a symbol of saying, I want to pray for somebody I love. Somebody I know is going through something bad. Jesus, we thank You this morning. We thank You that You're right here in this moment. You're here in our midst. And Jesus, someone maybe they're watching online, You're with them now, right where they're at. They're in their home. And we acknowledge this, God, this morning, that there are so many things that we don't understand. God, I don't understand everything. I don't have the answers to everything. And sometimes, God, not only do we not understand, but we don't like it. We don't like what's going on in our life. We don't understand, but God, this morning, I pray that You'd help us. Help us to embrace You this morning, God. Help us to keep seeking You. Lord, we hold on to You this morning because You are our hope. We're believing that You're a good God. And Lord, we choose to hang on to You this morning. Jesus, would You help us? Would You build our faith this morning, God, to trust You even more, even when we don't like what's going on, even when we don't understand, God, let our trust and our faith in You increase this morning. God, we thank You that You're a compassionate God, a God that can handle all of our questions, a God who continues to love us, even though we fail You day after day after day. God, as we draw near to You this morning, I pray that You would draw near to us. Work in our hearts. Father, bring about spiritual maturity in us this morning, I pray. I praise You, Lord, this morning. And that as you keep praying, If you look at Jesus before he went to the cross, I want you to see this. Before he went to the cross, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he knelt down. And Jesus, he had one of these wrestling and embracing moments too. If you see that he went to the Father God and he said, look, he said, I know that you're asking me to lay down my life, but if there's a way that this cup can pass, let it pass. Basically what he's saying, I don't want to suffer and die. But then he embraces it and he says, but nonetheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You see, he's saying, I don't like it, but I trust you. He's wrestling and he's embracing. Even Jesus did it. If Jesus can do it and Habakkuk can do it, we can do it as well. Don't feel the guilt and shame of being able to question God, but just don't let go. You see, sometimes I don't want to, but I trust you, God. And so Jesus became obedient even to death on the cross. Why did he have to die? Because he was the Son of God and he was without sin. And he died in our place. He died in my place. Jesus, the Son of God, died to pay for my sins and to pay for your sins this morning. And the good news is that God is good. God raised him from the dead on the third day. Can you imagine what the disciples thought that day? They thought that Jesus was going to be king and then now he's dead. They didn't understand either. They were probably in a wrestling match with God as well. But 3 days later, God proved himself faithful. God is always faithful. He's always good. And to those of you that are here today and you don't know where you stand with God, maybe you're wondering this morning that maybe I'm just too bad for God. Or maybe you're here and you're wondering, well, am I good enough? Well, the answer is none of us are good enough. All of us are broken and sinful without Jesus. But the good news is if we put our faith in Jesus, the perfect one, the perfect author and the finisher of our faith, we put our faith in him, God will forgive us of all of our sins and he'll make us new this morning, brand new. And so today, if you don't know where you stand with God, I'm going to invite you to step towards him this morning and step away from your sin and step towards Jesus this morning. Amen. I want you to call on his name, and I want to tell you, when you do, he's going to hear your prayer, and he's going to forgive all of your sins, and you're going to become brand new this morning.